some people have said, like, I want to watch you my missus and stuff like that. I'm just like, that's the people.
No.
Like, you know, or like, I want you to do this to me. I'm like, reading, like,
so I get so many questions about if I've got OnlyFans.
I bet you do.
I have sold workwear, worn workwear.
Have you?
Yeah. Initially, it was like, send pics over. And I'm like, no, like, absolutely not. You know, we've spoken about the funny stuff. And the serious side of it is that, like, you know, I want to show people through socials that, you know, you can be as big as you want, as strong, you can bench as much as you want, you can be a meathead in the gym, but like, you can be emotional as well. I've had my own sort of battle against depression at one stage. I've had a turbulent few years in my private life. Oh no, I can't say it. I'll say what I can. This is quite funny. A current TV presenter slid right in there.
No.
Yeah. From an organisation that has been under recent scrutiny for scandal.
Right, okay.
And that might give a long way.
Who was the celeb? No. I have a tendency just let them run, don't I? We've been in here before, and it's like 2 hours, isn't it?
You do lose track of time doing
these things. But I don't mind. I'll sit here all night chatting.
Yeah.
Because you go off on different tangents and angles, and that's where you get the juicy bits of gossip, isn't it? Or not gossip, but the juicy little stories.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have gossip. We had, do you know Darcy?
The one who does OnlyFans.
Yeah, we had her in 3 weeks. No, I think it was my last one 4 weeks ago.
A month ago.
About all the OnlyFans stuff. So she's gone through, because we said, right, Darcy, we want to get you in, because she was on early doors. We want to get you back in, because she'd been to Australia. She'd come and done this, went over to Australia. It didn't work over there, whatever. She'd basically come back with a load of debt and was like, that OnlyFans has been sort of nibbling away from me for ages. And she was like, okay, I'm going to give it a go. And it's quite good, wasn't it? Fair play. I said to her, can we ask you anything? She went, yeah, whatever you want. And we were going through like people's opinions on it, other girls in the trades that don't advertise it like what Darcy does, but they're doing it. And she gave us a list and we're like, fucking hell, really? Then it was like, I said to her, how much do you earn? And she went, over a year. And I went, yeah. And we played the game to try and find out what it is. And it's unbelievable.
Stupid money. I get so many questions about if I've got OnlyFans.
I bet you do.
Especially in the, I don't know, not so much now, but in the early days, it's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, there's not women in my DMs. It's all guys.
God, yeah.
I can't do that.
Could you not do it?
Nah, no chance.
Could you not?
Nah.
What if someone said, well, put it this way, Darcy, you ain't quid in a year.
Yeah, I know.
No, still no good.
Just
20 grand, mate.
Yeah.
Biscuits, mate.
Got stuff from McDonald's.
It's just out there forever, isn't it?
Because she's not like doing full on or anything like that. But it's like you say, it's whether you can live with it.
I have sold workwear, worn workwear.
Have you?
Yeah.
For like what? Just a random message?
Just someone said, me and my wife are into that. Would you consider it? And I was like, what are we talking here? And, just they were like literally your full outfit for that day.
Just what you'd been to work in?
Yeah. And I was like, all right. And then they went up, well, how much do you want? And I was like, I'm not really bothered about selling it, so let's just put a silly figure out. I was like, well, you can pay me. And they were like, yeah, right.
Calf, no.
Best thing, all the workwear I sold was all free stuff like that.
Kimono workwear. Yeah. Snickers workwear or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
So yeah, that was packaged it up, I sent it off. Yeah,
so you can be bought, Harrison.
Well, yeah, but I've got, But it's just stupid, mate. Like, you know, just people are able to pay that money, and you think really when like you're going to work for X amount, and you just get that for. I mean, like when you think about it, like, you know, I don't know their name. Well, actually, I do know their name for the bank, but you know, I'm not gonna say that. But I don't know what they look like. I just gave them a bank to you. I said, look, you pay me a third up front.
Yeah.
Another third upon approval of that I posted.
Did you have to have a picture with it? I'm about to post it.
So before, they wanted to see exactly what I was sending. So I've gone into the drawing room. I've gone, like, I always change. I don't go to work in my workwear.
Just little tight shorts.
Yeah, in the summer, just a pair of shorts on, in the dryer and clothes on. I've laid it all out on the floor. Everyone's around me getting changed and that. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, sending this to blah, 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 to... You know, evidence the portfolio of clothes that they're after, laid it all out. They want boxers, they want socks.
The lot.
Everything I've worn that day. So yeah, like that's honestly, and it was a hot day as well. So you can imagine.
That is and brilliant.
I did sniff them to see what smell that was.
What they're going to get.
Yeah, I wanted to buy before you try. Like, what does it smell like? And I thought.
Was it like a proper sweaty?
It's just a sweaty bloke.
Just a day.
Just the day
of work.
Just graft. The smell of horrible graft.
And they would love it. I bet he had that lot
so
on.
So it all received, all paid, get a bit of feedback. Like, oh,
what was the feedback?
Oh, the wife loved it. I was like, oh my God. And then, so I was like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's easy. It's an easy bit of money, but yeah, it was the easiest I've ever made in my life. But, and then there were further messages like, can you put some boxes on and have a bit of fun in them? And then I'll pay
from the same couple.
Yeah. Yeah. And then pay pair. And a part of me was like, I could make a lot of money in one night.
Yeah.
But I did draw the line and went, do you know what? For the sake, my
fuck off. You paid to wear them and send them.
Yeah, in. I was like, fair. Let's not get cheap. but no, I was like, look, I'm trying to build something legitimate here in different things. Yeah, like everything will catches. I was like, that's just a line for me. So draw it there. I'm not comfortable doing that. But yeah,
it's a bit of fun to start with.
It was a bit of a laugh and that. But like, yes, that's just for me. It's too much. But if you were that way inclined, and and that's where people do make killings off social.
But it's just thing. So you've had that offered to you. There's going to be loads of lads and women that have.
Yeah, there's plenty of lads, especially if you're a tradie or whatever, and you're building your content up, and you don't give a shit.
Yeah,
like, and I would begrudge anyone for doing it. You work hard for it. If you can make easy money, then why not? But yeah, it's just not for me personally.
For
but
you.
There's the avenue.
Yeah.
There's the avenue. Sell your dirty workwear. Yeah.
Get sponsored by one of the workwear brands. Yeah. But 100% profit.
Yeah, little side hustle together. Like, you send me the free clothes, you have X amount of profit.
Brilliant. Absolutely love that. That's gold.
Yeah, so initially it was like a surge of people in the DMs. Just like, initially it was like, send pics over. And I'm like, fucking no. Like, absolutely not. And then it was like...
Just from putting like a gym picture.
I don't know what it was. Just... A lot of people seem to have a thing for a builder.
Yeah,
like it's like a fetish.
Yeah,
They love a builder.
You want to see them when the plumbers come? Fuck
yeah! Yeah, they want to see the builders that we see. But yeah, honestly, some of the messages are just they make me feel a bit. It's just you wouldn't. I couldn't imagine going to a stranger and saying some of the things that have been.
Have you had proper?
Yeah, and it's just oh no. I can't
what have you had?
Say it. That, right, so I'll say what I can. This is quite funny. So,
oh no, I want to know what you can't. Go on, say what you can.
So, a current TV presenter slid right in there.
No.
Yeah. From an organisation that has been under recent scrutiny for scandal.
Right, okay.
And that might give a long way. And it was just like, so I was showing my mates to that, and they were like, you are joking. I'm like, look, there
it is. Wow.
So that was that just reminded me of that. That popped in my head. But yeah, the OnlyFans ones and just like people were just this things that they're saying is just like phew. I think for quite a while actually, I think everyone thought that I was that I'm gay. Like
that's a massive sort of stereotype that put gym stuff out, isn't it?
Yeah.
I
think like especially during the summer last year, I like a pair of tight shorts.
Yeah.
I want my legs to be getting some vitamin D.
Fair play.
And then that was like, that seemed to like...
Flying out.
Yeah, just like...
What, the DMs were going mental?
Yeah, just people asking for OnlyFans.
Well, mainly blokes coming in there?
All blokes.
Really?
Yeah, honestly.
Not even no women? Gutted.
Wait, honestly, all blokes, hungry, hungry men.
Begging it.
You're begging.
What are they asking you?
Oh, just like some are like, oh, I would like... Some people have said like, I want to watch you smash my missus and stuff like that. I'm just like... That's the straight people,
no.
I want you to do this to me. I'm like reading it, like
who was the celeb? No. But when they've done that, no, I'm not even going to ask because I will
use it later.
Yeah, I will.
I got more on it.
Yeah. Right, we all good? We ready to just go?
Yeah, we're ready.
Right then, we're not doing it. I say this every time. We're not doing it. Season six, episode, we don't really know. Al's probably mentioned what episode last week and the week before. So I haven't been here for 3 weeks. Back again. Train Legends podcast. We've got Harrison, the Bench and Bricky, on all platforms. Is it all platforms?
Well, I am on Facebook now.
Right.
It's, yeah, slow, but TikTok and Instagram. Instagram's the main one.
Instagram's your main one.
Potentially in the future, maybe a bit of YouTube.
Right, okay.
You know, eventually. But for now, that's enough on my plate to be managing.
You've got enough going on by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got Harrison on, and you do. Just give us a little bit of a brief overview of what you do now, and then step back to where it all sort of started.
Yeah, so my day-to-day is I'm a bricklayer foreman as well. So, you know, we're doing a housing development now, so running the job, and you know, the numbers of blokes vary. We've had up to 30 on the job at one point.
New build stuff?
Yeah, so new build stuff. Our company does commercial stuff, new builds. I've built on everything, hotels, schools.
Right, okay.
At the minute, doing new builds, been on the same site for 2 years now. Which is good.
Is that local to you? Because you're Plymouth, right?
Yeah, so that's in Exeter, which is about a half hour, 35 minute drive, which isn't too bad. You get used to it. You don't need to work somewhere for that long. So that's the day-to-day. And then obviously now I've got the social media work.
Yeah.
Content creation and
not influencer.
Yeah, I'm not an influencer. I can't call myself that.
Content creator.
Yeah, content creator, and I just sort of produce construction related humor videos, and then I do fitness content, and now I've sort of branched out with another little business with that.
Right.
And I do a little bit of touching on mental health and construction as well. So those are sort of my three topics I like to pump out.
So you're still actively laying bricks, you're still actively doing that. You haven't completely stepped away from that.
No. Who knows where it can go?
Yeah.
Social media is pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Who knows? But no, I mean, my platform wouldn't work without me being there.
Of course.
But there are a lot of people that seem to think that I just walk onto a building site and pretend to be a bricklayer.
Mate, I get it.
And then bugger off.
Yeah.
And I just think, of all the things I could pretend to be, you think I picked a bricklayer?
Yeah, there is that. I get it a lot where people are now going, oh, are you still plumbing? Well, yeah, because if I don't do plumbing, my content, I won't have my content if I don't do my job. And I've always said from day one, if the plug was pulled on the content and the YouTube and the Instagram, I'm still a tradesman. I'm still your bread and butter.
It's an extra on top, isn't it? It's not the main. And even if it was, I don't know that I would. People ask me this, and I don't know that I would just drop off. I don't know that, you know, I get quite bored quickly.
Yeah.
I like the structure. I like the routine. I like being busy. When I'm not busy, I get very restless.
Yeah.
I know I can be, you know, I could be busy in other ways. I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, I do enjoy getting up on building. So I know a lot of people seem to think it's not enjoyable, but for a lot of people, they do actually find it enjoyable. They like being there. You like being with the lads.
Yeah.
You like being outside. And what social media has enabled me to do is when it's pissing down raining now, I'm
still earning a few quid
that way. Yeah, yeah. I've got a backup now, which is nice. And
well, especially being a bricky, there's months in there of the year, or weeks or months. There can be up to months where lay bricks.
This winter has been fucking terrible. It's not even just the winter. Like, we didn't particularly have a great summer either.
No,
and that's our bread and butter time. So when, you know, it's been, we don't feel like we've had a real good stretch of weather for a long time now, and that obviously really impacts what we do. But I was saying to you beforehand, I don't think I've worked a full week since October.
And that's through the weather and the social stuff.
And it's mainly to do with the weather, you know, and if stuff pops up with socials, then, you know, that I'll do that as well. But yeah, the weather's just, you've had cold, it's raining all the time, and then wind as well. That's the one thing people don't think about bricklaying is wind.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of stuff go over. You can prop it up all you want.
Still coming over, anyway, that wind hits. Yeah, you leave the site at whatever time in the evening and come back the next day and it's all on the floor.
You come back, especially but
that's what a lot of people don't see is that side, especially bricklaying. With plumbing, it's different. Electrics, carpentry, we can move stuff around, but yours is always outside.
It's always out, unless you do it. I mean, occasionally, like, you're lucky in a winter, you'll get a bit of inside work. A couple of years ago, I did a stadium job, and it was inside for November, December, doing underneath a stand, building all the bars.
It's the dream,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Perfect. Like, you know, and we all spotlights and that, so we're starting at 7, working through to, like, 5 hour 5, which in the winter is just...
Yeah.
You know, in peak winter, it's dark till 8 and it's dark at 4 and that's it. So
you've got that little window, ain't you?
Yeah.
You've
still got your prep time to get started, and you've got your finishing up time. So the time you actually get to work is just...
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, but yeah.
So let's go back to the start then, Harrison, where it all started. Obviously, coming out of school, where was you? Is Brick Lane in the family, or was you seeing someone doing it one day and thought, we'll have a go at that?
Brick Lane's it's a bit of a family trade. So my old man was a bricky. He's got a pretty successful firm down our way. So I've sort of been brought up around it. And like, my uncles are brickies as well.
Ah, so it is properly family orientated.
My mum does the financial stuff. So it's all very like family orientated, but yeah, growing up, I was like, I ain't being a fucking bricklayer, not a chance.
Why? Because you'd seen it day in, day out.
It's just not where I wanted to go. I went to, so like the school I went to a grammar school.
Right.
So very academic, and nice. It was just the whole time, it was just pumped into you, like get through A-levels, uni.
Yeah.
And that was it. It was like tunnel vision towards doing that.
I bet trades wasn't even mentioned
Not
at
once
all.
Did in school did ever, you know, I knew about it because of my family, but yeah. Not once did, if you were in school and you weren't from that background, would you have ever got pushed to a trade unless you were struggling academically.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, you can just go do an apprenticeship.
And that's what we get. Yeah. So many people on here come from, I didn't do great at school. But obviously you must have done all right.
Yeah, no, I've
go on, what did you get? Did you nail it?
Well, to be fair, I didn't really particularly start trying because I could kind of got, I'm one of those people who was able to coast through.
Right.
I didn't really particularly have to try that hard. And I went to uni. So I did my A-levels, got into uni, and then I started to try. And I've got a master's degree.
What did you get at uni?
I got a first class undergrad.
In
sports science.
Right,
and
okay.
I went and did a health and exercise master's and got a distinction in that.
Yeah.
So... yeah, if you'd have seen all the papers that I did when I was at uni, you'd be like, nah, there's no way that man writ that. But yeah, I've got the academic side to me. So I did all that.
So you done, what sort of years was you at uni till then?
So I was at uni from 18 to 22, because right. I did 3 years undergrad, a year of my master's.
And at this point, still nothing?
I was working as a strength conditioning coach alongside it. So I was working in like youth rugby. It was doing really well. I was, you know, I'd do sessions for like 100 kids at a time, right. Coaching and stuff like that. And then, you know, I was playing rugby league at the same time.
Yeah.
So I was pretty busy doing all that. It was a completely different lifestyle than I got now.
Yeah.
Come out of uni and I was like, right, the playing side was still what like ticked me over. I was like, that's what I wanted to go after. So then I went to move to Australia.
Right.
I did go into construction over there because I needed to work a job alongside playing the rugby.
But you went predominantly there for the
that
for
was
the
it
rugby.
And it was just like I just, you know, because you get paid so well in Australia, even
really?
If you just, so I just like played the rugby, got paid to play the rugby, and I was like, right, I just need a little day job.
So they like find digs out there for you and everything then?
It was quite easy, to be honest. I just literally, so I had all highlights videos all sent out, and it's basically like applying to a normal job. You send out, you can, I used an agent. He didn't really come back with stuff I wanted, so I went and actively did it myself.
Yeah.
Sent all my stuff out and then just got offers back and then just went through which ones I wanted to take.
Why was it there then? Is that like the predominant place to go?
Rugby league, if anyone knows anything about rugby league, Australia by far and away the best at it. It's the best place to play. It's, you know, their standard over there is far higher than here. And over in England, it's you know, it's a second tier sport. It's not that popular.
Yeah.
No one really plays, especially from like where I'm from. Nobody plays rugby league. It's a northern sport.
What's the predominant sport down where you are? Then? Football.
Yeah, everyone does football. And then, yeah, rugby's popular as well.
Yeah.
It's in union, rugby union. So I grew up playing union up until I went to uni.
Yeah.
When I went to uni, then I switched to playing league. And so I went over there and I was working as a labourer for concreters. And I lived up in far north Queensland, so it's like 35 degrees.
Red up.
Savage. But that job, that work and that job taught me a lot. I learned so much on that about just like etiquette and just like your how you should work. And I remember one day they went absolutely mental on me. I was like, what have I done? Like, they were like, always something to do, mate.
Oh, we just stood around.
It was like, yeah, there's always something to do. You should never be stood still.
Yeah.
Like, you just make it look like you do something. But I stood still for 1 second.
And they're on
straight
you.
On me.
What did you do then? Work with like a team of lads then?
Yeah, so that so the job I was on, and it was basically the entire time I was there, it was tilt panelling. You ever seen that?
No, what's that?
They pour slabs on the ground deck. They put a bomb breaker between them, pour slabs and slabs on top.
Yeah.
And then they get a crane in, and they lift the panels off of each other, tilt them up, and then form erect walls.
Ah, right,
and
got you.
You know, in a day, you pour all these, you pick all these slabs out of a crane, you form a massive structure
within the day.
So, yeah, literally in a day. So they spend like X amount of time forming a slab like you would normally for formers.
Yeah,
and they just come in. They bash the hooks. They build the hooks into the concrete. Come and lift
it up.
put him into rebates that they've done on the main slab.
Yeah.
And that's it. You prop them all up.
So what was you doing? They're just labouring for
just,
them
just
boys.
Just labouring, but they it was there's no health and safety or stuff like that.
Is there not?
I just got, but I learned so much because of that. It was just like they just chucked me in machines and like scissor lifts and like using stuff. And I did everything. Like it's a great job because I learned so much.
Yeah.
I didn't have to wear hard hats or any of the stuff that we have to
so
do.
So how long ago was this then?
This is 2015.
Right. Okay.
So it's not like that long ago.
Yeah. But still no health and safety. Nothing. Yeah,
I don't know what it's like in Oz now, but where I was, I just used to wear a cap like this, shorts, t-shirt. I had to wear steel toe cap boots.
That
was fine.
Don't matter about everything else.
They did make us wear hard hats the days that you were doing the lifts.
Oh, right.
Just in case, one of these massive panels fell on you.
Yeah.
And then you have some protection in your head, but if they fall on you, you're dead. So
yeah.
That was the only days I had to wear a hard hat. But yeah. So sort of did that, played the league, and then it was like, oh, what do I do now? And then
So he's working and playing a bit of rugby weekends and nights.
It's the dream at that age. It was like very little, didn't feel like much responsibility. It was just, and you get paid well as well. It's like $25 an hour.
Right.
You know, and you imagine just laboring. I didn't have to think. I just went there. It was physical. Like it was all about being fit for me at that point. So it just suited me down to the ground and being outside in that environment with the Aussies working was just brilliant.
But it was good crack, wasn't it?
Yeah, such a good laugh. Such a good laugh. And that was it. And then on a weekend, I was playing rugby league and just doing that. It's a nice climate there as well.
So you work all through the day, even through the midday heat and that?
Yeah. It's not like you don't get like a Spanish siesta.
Is it like red hot?
I used to start.
When you're on holiday and it's red hot, I'm like, couldn't work in this.
It's weird. Like in Cairns that I lived, it's a tropical climate. It's very, very humid.
Yeah.
It's not like a dry heat, it's a wet heat. The sweat like is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you just get used to it. I'd be the same now. If you just chuck me randomly back into that environment right now,
take you a while to acclimatize.
I would not be prepared for it, but you just build to it and you get used to it. And I could do it. You'd have to take liters and liters of fluid with you.
Yeah.
And you didn't really want to eat that much. It's too hot to eat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I used to start at 7, I'd have one break, half an hour break, and work till 5.
Proper don't stop, keep going.
It was relentless, but you just adapt to it, and it just became second nature. But yeah, it's learned so much doing that. It was brilliant.
So how long was you there for then?
It was a year, so I finished the season.
And that was your first sort of introduction to construction?
The first time I went on a building site I was 15.
Right.
So my dad was like in the summers between schools. He was like, no, "Get out, get."
Oh, so you had sort.
Yeah, you get to work, but like, I used to hate it then.
Right.
But
okay.
I think if I look back now, the reason I didn't like it is because I didn't like the labour and that. I just found very mentally not challenging for me. Yeah. Obviously, I was quite academic to an extent, so just going there and sweeping up and stuff. I was like, oh, there's no way I could do this the rest of my life, and I hadn't really been introduced to like the practical side of bricklaying or the actual day to day of that, which is completely different.
It's just dog's body, clean up.
Yeah, just doing the shit. So I think that's the reason at that point I was like, there's no chance I'm going to do that. So that, 15, I mean, I lied about my ages on inductions. He made me lie. He's like, no, you're on site and you get away with it. But even at that point, back then, you could get away with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you could do that now.
No.
So those were my first sort of introductions, and I used to do it through the summer. And in between uni as well, when I come out from uni, right.
But in your head, you're going, this ain't for me.
I just knew that I was just ticking over through the summer, and a little bit of money, ready to go back to uni, and that was the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And I just when I came out from Australia, it was like, you'd started earning some good money over there doing that. I was still going to play rugby, so I'd sorted out a contract when I got back.
So what made you come back then?
I don't know. Now I'm like, why? Why did I do it?
Why?
But I think the thing is, when you're over there and you're in it, it's it was the family aspect and friends was difficult.
Yeah.
You're a long way from everyone and like close knit family and close knit friends. I was like, do I really want to be that far away for the rest of my life? I mean, just a decision I made in that moment, and you've got to back that now. You can't. There's no point going, no, yeah. I shouldn't have done it.
Plus, you've done it as well, haven't you? Yeah. You've ticked it off. You've gone and worked in Australia for a bit.
Yeah. It's just a little bucket list thing. I've done it and absolutely loved it. And maybe in a different life, I would have stayed. It didn't happen.
Yeah,
everything happens for a reason. And I came back and I was like, right, do I get back into the S&C stuff, the strength and conditioning stuff? It's really saturated with people. Like, another influx of people will follow through in that time that I've gone.
Yeah,
and then I actually like you know, before I just used to think of it as like, you know, just you go do your passion, but then it's actually really poorly paid.
Well, that's like the strength and conditioning stuff.
It is. To get to like the serious pay levels, you're talking like you either got to be in the game for like 20, 30 years,
right,
or you got to be looking down like the sort of PhD route, which was a potential possibility for me at one point. There were conversations while I was at uni about doing a PhD.
Yeah.
And I'm glad but I didn't
do it. But even that's a long game as well, isn't it, doing that?
Yeah, you're working. A PhD is like a job, essentially, and you're getting paid to study and you pick your research topic and stuff. And I was like, do you know?
But even if you did that, where's the end goal doing that?
Exactly. You just end up, you get paid not a particularly great wage to study something for like a long time.
Yeah.
To produce a paper at the end, and I'm done with that. And then I just like, right, so I was actually going to go work in recruitment. I went to Bristol,
right,
multiple interviews with different companies, got offered every single job.
At this point, you just like, I need a job. I need to do something.
I just had it in my head. I just wanted to get back. I wanted to earn a good living.
Yeah.
And I want to get a house and buy a car. And I came back with that. I think over there, all the friends I'd made were a lot older and they all had that. In Australia, people tend to have, like, they do live better lifestyles than I think that people do in the UK.
Right.
And they all have nice stuff over there.
They all have it planned out, do they?
I don't know if they have it planned out. I just think that the way their economy works, for whatever reason, they get paid. They all seem to earn a lot more money. Even like at the lower, the lower ends, yeah, they earn a lot more money. And then, so they got more to show for it.
Yeah,
so
I
spent an entire year around all these people with these nice houses and pools and nice cars, and I was like, it just changed the mentality of like, well, I want to come back.
And you've brought that back to the UK and gone,
just,
right,
I need to get into this now. I need to get into the real world. And, you know, I can't keep floating about, and just let's get into the real world. Let's start earning some money. Let's build a career. And I came back and I was like, right, I'm going to get into recruitment now. I don't know why that was. I just had a few mates who were into that sort of corporate world, and they're earning decent money, doing a decent living. I was like, right, that's it. So I went in there in my suit, did all the interviews, and I got offered all the jobs.
Did you?
And I was just sat there and I was like, I remember going in for the last interview, and I got interviewed by four different people consecutively, and I was just like, they're all coming in feeding me a load of bullshit about how they love the job. It was corporate-y bullshit. And I was like, I don't buy a word of what you're telling me.
I couldn't think of anything worse.
Yeah, and just they're all sat there in their rows in the desk, like telling me how much they loved it. And I'm like, looking around at everyone else.
And their lanyards swinging around.
I was like, you don't love it. You don't love it. And now you've made me realise. And I just went, nah, not for me. I went back and then went to my old man. I was like, do you know what? I'm ready to go at this now.
So your old man, at this point, your old man's still cracking on his building firm.
Yeah, yeah. They
is it a big, your old man's building firm big then?
I think down in our region, like, he's one of the bigger fish, yeah. He's been around, he's been doing it longer than I've been alive. Do you know what I mean?
Like, he's got a load of blokes and...
Yeah, I mean, he's up to 90, 100.
Oh, right, okay, proper
max times. Yeah. I mean, it's not so much now, he's going for quality rather than quantity now. He was, in our area, was one of the big fish.
Right, okay.
I've just come back and gone to him, like, right, Dad, I'm ready to, I've decided. And he's like, what? after all that, he went for uni and now you want to be a bricklayer?
Yeah.
Your mum was like, no, you can't do that. You've got all these qualifications now. And I was like, no, I'm ready.
It just goes to show you can go through uni, get all the qualifications, all the papers, all the this, that, and the other. But if it's not for you.
And I've said that, I've talked about this like multiple times when talk about this sort of topic, and it's, that's just what got pumped through to me. It's like, you've got to go to uni. That's all school was like. To be successful, you've got to go to uni.
And do you think that stems from the grammar school pushing that all the way through?
Yeah, and I don't. I think my school especially, but I think it's all schools now. You speak to anybody really, like they're all, it's all just pumped through to further education, stay in school as long as possible, get qualifications, go to uni, and then once you do that, you'll come out with a degree, then you can go and be successful.
Yeah.
When the reality is, like, I learned the long way around, is that's not the case. And I do try and, in my, you know, on the social and stuff, I try and put that out a lot, especially to the younger lads.
Yeah. Well, I know so many lads that I grew up with, some went off to uni and I went and done my apprenticeship. And by the time they were done at uni, I had, you know, a life, cars, house, you built your life. And they come back with X amount of debt, loads of debt,
too overqualified for anything.
Yeah, it's you know, if I had my time again, it wouldn't.
Would you not do it again?
No, I mean, like, I don't regret it. I had great times at uni. It was unbelievable.
The party side of it.
Yeah, like, you can't beat it. But like for me as well, like, it introduced me to like, the rugby path that I had.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was unbelievable. So there's absolutely no way I would change anything. Like, everything led to me doing everything I did at that age. And like, there's no, yeah, but.
But you haven't took anything from what you learned at uni?
Well, I think that I learned a lot there, which I do. I mean, it's enabled, I think the skills I learned there enabled me to be better at managing now.
Okay.
Perhaps like in the day to day, like the communication skills and that sort of thing, the managing, and you know, I can be building in a second, in one phone call, I'm down having a meeting with higher ups, yeah. And I've got to like switch between modes. I've got to switch between one of the lads taking a piss, and then I've got to go and I've got to be serious, Harrison.
Bullet
and,
points.
Yeah, and just be like the program, bang, 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 you know, rams, all this shit.
Yeah.
But I've got to, so I can have to switch between that. And that, to be fair, that's probably given me the skills to be able to do that. Right. So there's plenty that I can take out and say, no, that I have learned stuff that would enable me to be better at what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And obviously, what I actually learned in my degree is now sort of, I have gone back to it by pushing the fitness app that I've started. So, you know, I'm able to use that now, which, so I haven't fully left the skills behind. They're still there. For me, it's not a waste of time, but I think for a lot of people, the trade route is something that a lot of people really should consider. And like, there's a lot of misconceptions about being in construction.
Oh, massively.
And I'm like, and that's like part of what I want to do in social. So like, let's change that because, you know, we all know, like, if you're a good tradesman and there's different trades, you can earn a really good living.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and it's outside, it can be outside, inside, hands-on. It's like, you don't have to be like writing on a computer. Like, you can earn a real good living with your hands.
Yeah, manual.
Like rudimentary, like tools and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, you can still
earn
a good living.
If you've got that little bit of nounce to do it, then yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, like, you know, if you judge a salmon by its ability to fly, it's going to spend its whole life being stupid, isn't it?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
like
that. Little one for you.
Yeah, we like that. We'll use that one. Bank that one, Jack. Yeah. We like that.
So certain people's skill sets lie in practical stuff.
And it takes a while to unlock them, doesn't it, really?
It does. But they get fed to them in school that, because they're not academically gifted, and they spend the whole time through school believing that they come out of it and they're not very good at anything. And the reality is they could be very good at this, and it's just that's where their skill set lies.
Yeah.
But they never actually never understand that, or some people will never find that and they end up in jobs they don't really like and in an average wage.
So you was quite fortunate then having that side of it and your old man's construction business to just tip your feet into a little bit.
Yeah, like I was lucky in that sense that I could dab in it and realise what, you know, I took a long way to find it, but in the end found out what I actually enjoyed doing. Well, and obviously not everyone would have that opportunity, but I think that most people would do better just looking at a trade route.
Ladies and gents, just a quick one to say a huge thank you to our new headline sponsor, CT1, the best sealants on the market, voted for by the British public. Not only that, it's made in Britain as well, so go and support a product and a brand that is made in the UK. But I just want to say to you, they've got a brand new product out, which is the BT1. It's a combination sealant and adhesive like the popular CT1, but it's perfect for keeping a hygienic environment. And it's designed to completely stop the growth of bacteria, microbes, and fungus. And not only that, this stuff is strong. Now, it's going to be available at Travis Perkins, Wicks, Juicens, and pretty much everywhere else. So there's no excuse not to go and give it a go. So we're really happy to be partnering with CT1.
So you've come out of it and you've gone, right, a conscious decision, tap the old man up.
Yeah, right, Dad, I want to earn some money. But, you know, he was like, that's fine, right, but don't expect any special treatment.
Oh, nice.
I started right off at the bottom as an apprentice.
At what age was you now?
I was 22, 23, so an older apprentice, which I think can be more difficult. I just went in with a mentality of, I'm getting my head down, I'm going to learn this as quick as possible.
So you went in bricklaying?
I went in as a bricklaying apprentice, you'll spend more time labouring, and that was it. But
so was you going to college as well at the same time?
So, yeah, I did one day a week at college, which,
So you, yeah, so you was quite an older lad at college.
Well, you imagine me going into college at 22, 23 with all the 16-year-olds. They're looking like,
after doing uni in grammar school.
I was still playing a good level of rugby at the time. So I was bigger than I am now.
Yeah.
And they're just looking at me like, "What the fuck is this guy doing here?" Yeah. I'm just there like trying to fill me coins and that and stuff. But I just went in with a mentality of, I'm going to learn this as quick as possible. I'm going to really work hard because for me, I need to get to where I need to be quicker.
Yeah.
Like most lads at 16, they're just chilling. They got 3-4 years to like get there, and then at 20 they'll start to kick on they'll start to think about things then, where I was like, no, I need to get through this as quick as possible.
So you're just doing one day a week at college?
So I did one day a week at college for 3 months. At that point I'd already gone through all the stuff, passed it all, and they went, "This is a waste of time for you." So the other 9 months I just went back on site.
Oh, really?
And I went back and did my level 3. I guess how many times I went back in for college from level 3.
Wow, probably a handful.
None. And that was on price by then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So what did they do? Send like an assessor out?
It just came, so how it is, what it was for me, it was you'd go in, do your practical stuff, and they do on-site assessments. Mm. So for my level 3, he came out, he went through you have to sit down and do like a recorded interview, talking about stuff. And he just he put the recorder down, went, 10 minutes, I'll ask you questions and just, I'll take the lead. He asked me questions and I talked on my own for the 10 minutes. He just sat there. He went, "Yeah, I think you'll be all right, Harrison."
Off you go, mate.
And that was it. Then
signed you off.
I went in, just got signed off. He was like, you're a price worth a brickie now.
Yeah.
Because I just rattled through. You know,
this is just
no way the finished product, but I could already at that point get through. I could build a house by that point.
Yeah.
So that was it.
So at this point, you're laying bricks with a gang.
Yeah, yeah. I think by level 3, I was just working as a one-on-one.
Yeah.
Even as a level 3, and I was the senior one.
Right.
So yeah, I'd fall back on the foreman at the point if I needed it or whatever. But yeah, I was just working one-on-one and going through the apprenticeship. I worked in different size gangs. I went through, worked with 2 or 3 older heads, and I just, it was like a sponge, really. I was like, I just need to learn and learn and learn. Yeah. And I still do it now. I'm always looking at people and trying to pick little tips up. There's always stuff to be learned.
Yeah, there is. There's always
stuff. So yeah, I still do it now. And that's what I try and say to my apprentices now, is you've got to be like a sponge.
Yeah.
Asking questions, observing, and it just enables you to rattle through that process a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
You know, the harder that you work at those early stages,
it makes life a lot easier.
The more it'll benefit you in the future when you can fall back on them. So yeah. That was sort of the mentality, is head down, and then I got through it quick, and I was on price within a year and a half, 2 years, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
So what, you're just cracking on then with your price work?
Yeah, so I was
still for your old man's company.
Yeah, so I was still
working. You still work with your old man now?
He's hasn't been on the tools in years.
But do you still work for his company?
Yeah, we still work. Okay. So now I'm at a point where I run the jobs for him.
Right.
And so at the minute I'm doing I don't really want to say developer, we don't get on. Working for them, and I just run it. I've been there 2 years, he's been on that job 5 times.
Oh, right, really?
He comes in for the meetings.
Yeah.
I come down, we have the meetings. He goes, "Everything all right?" Yeah, I'm like, "Yeah, I got it covered."
So you're literally running the show on them sites for him then?
Yeah, I've just, yeah, and like, you know, if there is an issue, we'll chat and we'll talk it through. But yeah, it's my site, I know it.
So have you got a gang under you, a couple of lads under you?
So there's a 2 and 2, got two, another brickie and 2 apprentices.
Yeah.
And then there's 5 or 6, no, there's 4 or 5 other gangs at the minute. I'd say it's been more when it was production was needed, and then we work together, and then I'll slip off if I've got to go and manage.
I was going to say, so that gives you the leniency then to go off and
I've got them to a point now where I'm happy to leave them if I need them to. Some days I have to take a whole day just to go and manage. It just, if it requires it,
yeah.
I'll have days where I'll have to go in 3 or 4 meetings with different people and do all that.
Hands on, are you still laying bricks?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah. So when I'm not managing, I manage. Yeah, when I'm not doing that, I'm on the trowel and working like any other brickie.
Yeah.
And then if it needs be, I'm managing. So I like to get it to a point where it should be running seamlessly, and I'm just overseeing it.
Right.
Like everyone knows what they're doing. Everyone knows what's expected of them. Everyone knows the standards. And once you've got a team, if you don't have people who are behind that, it's difficult.
Yeah,
and you can be getting pulled off a lot and issues and stuff like that. If you've got a group of lads who know exactly what's expected of them, put them there, you give them the information, like it should run smoothly. It doesn't always run smoothly, but that's the ideal situation, is everyone takes care of their own business. You're just overseeing it, you're managing it, you're putting people on things that suit them best. You're like looking for different people's strengths and what's going to enable the job to get done, the overall job, get done to the best of its ability. And then that's sort of it. And that's where I sort of lean back to.
So the team you've got could do that, and you're happy to let them run with it.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to be able to trust people.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose that opens it up then for you to be able to do the other side of the stuff that you now do, your content and
I was doing that for a long time before doing the content stuff. And the thing if with what I do with the managing is it's very serious, acidic type stuff is what I call it. It's very serious.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, it can melt your brain after a while. I sit there with serious people and like there's no humor, and like you go back out and I'm back with a boy. Sometimes it's really difficult.
So you're flicking from the lads having the taking the piss to I've got to go and have a meeting for an hour.
After a while, especially if you're working with like the companies you're working for aren't good to work for. And to be honest, the company we worked for the last couple of years has not been good to work for.
Right.
They made our lives very difficult unnecessarily. Right. It can become very stressful. So I was like, this is ridiculous. Like the construction industry seems to be going that route. It's that, you know, you got robots as workers and you've got the higher ups who are so disconnected from the lads, and you've got these people fighting each other all the time.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, come on. Like,
becoming like a bit of a toxic sort of environment, isn't it?
Our site was incredibly toxic.
Was it?
Very. And it lasted a long time. It's sort of changed now. There's been a big revamp. God for that. But it was toxic for a long, it wasn't a nice place to go to work.
I was going
to
say, you're going in, you're getting up of a morning, going into what you, building sites, construction, the trades have always been a laugh.
Yeah.
It's always banter.
It's the foundation of it,
So I suppose if you're going to a place where you know it's going to be a shit atmosphere, toxic, and the lads that you've got there know that as well.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was difficult to go to for a long, I mean, I'm talking, this is nearly a 2-year period.
Right.
And we're like, we're calling for meetings with people above going like, this is the atmosphere on site. This is the reason for it. And then they're not doing anything. And it's not just the brickies, like in us. Like, I was out of the original supervisor at the start of the job, I'm the only one surviving. Wow. The only one who put up with it.
And do you think that's because it's your old man's company?
100%. I said that.
If it was for a random.
If I was doing it for anyone else, I would have jacked it.
Yeah.
I would have gone, do you know what? This is not fucking worth it.
Yeah.
But yeah, out of a sense of loyalty and like for the sake of the company, which I care about. You know, that there was no one better to put up with it than me, unfortunately. Yeah. But it was for a long time, it was a big burden on me. I would take it home. I'd go home and I'd be like, just, you know, I'd get like an email at 6 o'clock that would be personally attacking me at times. A lot.
Right.
You know, that's the sort of, you come home, you just want to switch off.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be, and I, at the time, I had my normal email linked to work. That's all changed now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the sort of thing that was happening. And
so you can't even get away from it when you're coming away from it. Yeah, that's the problem.
And I'll be there in my kitchen at 6:30 shadow boxing because I wanted to chin someone. Like, I was so wound up. That was it. It was difficult.
Yeah.
You know, there was no, it was just constant. And it did get to the point where I was like, this has to change. I cannot put up with this.
Lads who are working with you, are they feeling the same as well?
Yeah, it was a sight of people walking around bitching about management, essentially, and how the site was run. So, you know, I think to an extent you could handle a slightly toxic atmosphere if everything else was perfect, if it enabled you to a smooth operation, that you were getting all your shit done well, but it wasn't. It was toxic atmosphere, run like shit.
Just,
everything hindering you, nothing to help you, always a hindrance trying to get on with your job.
Yeah.
You think you should be going to work and working as a team, and you should be working with the other trades as a team. Like, it should all be like, let's work together to get to the end goal.
Yeah.
Instead of, it was just people playing off against each other. And
like school, like a playground. Yeah.
It was just like, it was a really difficult place to go to work.
So what did you're like, something needs to happen here, something's got to be done. So what did you?
I've sat there in meetings with people like directors and said, look, this is the reality. I'm the one here day to day. None of you are.
Yeah. I'm in the trenches, so to speak.
Yeah. This is what's happening in the trenches. You can listen to me if you want.
Yeah.
I'm sick of being attacked for my abilities when fingers are being pointed at the wrong people. Yeah. It wasn't just everybody in my position who was running their trades was getting slaughtered in like these meetings, and you're like, you're missing the point. So it's not our fault. You know, you need to be looking elsewhere. Yeah. And funnily enough, now things have changed. It's a really good site to go to work.
Same site.
It's incredible how much a place can change.
Over what? 12, 18 months?
Yeah, so it was like, it was like this atmosphere for 18 months. Within a week, a week, it was a different site.
Because they heard some shoes about it.
Yeah, and then certain people got removed.
Right.
Thank God.
Yeah.
And
it changes instantly.
Like that, and I mean literally like that. It was like, and now it's...
And when it changed, was you getting up, it's quite, you know, it sounds a bit blasé, was you getting up wanting, looking forward to going in?
Well, after it happened.
After, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't...
change.
I think there was a sense for me for a long time of a little bit every day of like, what shit am I going to have to face today? What argument am I going to have to go through today? And now it's like, I know that even if there's issues, which there's going to be, it's just a construction job. It's going
to get sorted out.
I'm going to be working with people who are prepared to like understand and let's work together. Let's find a solution rather than your shit.
Yeah, because that can just grind you down.
It does. It grinds you down and it can break you after that, especially that period of time. It really does weigh on you. And that will affect other things. If you spend a lot of your life doing this in a very X amount of time doing your outside stuff.
And then you'll take it home, won't you? Even the lads who are in gangs working, they're just laying the bricks. They're still going to take that negative.
Yeah, and I try and protect them from all that. Like, it's not their job. They're not paid to have to deal with that stuff. So we try and then you're shouldering more burden.
Yeah. And you're like, that fucking guy's a prick,
and it just got to
a
point where I was like, I'm not getting paid enough to take this level of stress on. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, So, but now, you know, it's all sort of resolved now and it's nice to go to work again. But
so is that with that switch then, has that allowed, you know, the social sort of stuff that you do now to come in to help with that?
I know, I did it anyway. So
was you doing that during that time as well?
I didn't give a fuck.
Did you not?
They did pull me and said like, we can't have any association to our site with your videos.
Right.
Like, we don't want anyone to see it and go, oh, that's that company. Anything that identifies us with you.
Yeah.
So that got pulled, that's been pulled up.
Just for context then, obviously you're working on that site, but your Instagram sort of stuff, you're doing sort of like quite skits and comedy things, aren't you?
Yeah.
On site.
Yeah, so they just like, they don't want anything that identified the location. So anyone could go, any potential customer could go, oh, that's that.
But they're all right with you doing it?
Well, I just said, if you don't want me to do it, then I'll pick my tools up and I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't be dictating what people want to do, like, you know, within reason.
Yeah.
There's nothing I would do harms anybody.
Yeah.
It's all in jest. It's all humorous stuff. I do it in my break, like I'm not like, and the job still gets done, and I'm still doing my other job. Like, everything's getting done, and I do it on top. Like, that's my challenge
choice,
to manage.
Yeah,
you know, so it's nothing to do with you. If you don't like it, then I'll go somewhere else. But no, I still
you're
do
still
it.
There, still now, doing it.
Now they come and like they've seen it and they'll laugh and they'll be like, I've seen your video.
I think people are just coming round to it more, aren't they?
Yeah, obviously I've had NHBC inspectors come up to do inspections with me, and they're like, is that you?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's me.
Brilliant.
Yeah, but I think for the most part, most people see the humour and like they don't, you know, but I was working in an environment where, no, it was like I was causing them an issue sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because I was getting good views.
So how did all that start then? How did you get into the social media?
Into the social
stuff.
Yeah,
into that.
So I was sat there, it was December, and we hadn't worked for, I think that month in December, it was the winter before last, and we'd just done so little work.
Is this during the time when they're being pricks?
Yeah, yeah. Right. So, you know, so I was sat at home in my kitchen, and I was like, yeah, the bricklaying, like, you earn a good living bricklaying, but like, I'm still sat at home not earning money right now.
Yeah.
So it's great to earn a good living, but my time's being wasted here. So like, what can I do to utilize this time to...
When you're not
for it, just to have a good, like, even if it didn't earn money, just something that keeps me a bit stimulated, that I can focus on, that keeps me busy, because otherwise I'm sat at home, I'm bored, I want to be at work, I want to have my routine back. I'm not good at just sitting around. Yeah. And then, so my apprentice, and he's going to love this, because every other podcast that I've been on or whatever, have said, how did it start? And I'm like, well,
it's all in.
He was like, oh, you should do it. Start a TikTok
page. What's his name?
Owen.
Shout out to Owen.
Go on, Owen. He's going to love that. Yeah, so Owen was like, you should do a TikTok. And he said it for a long time before.
And you had no socials at the time?
So yeah, I had nothing.
Even personally?
I deleted that.
Right, okay.
I was like, I was so social free.
Right, which is, that's the dream, isn't it?
Yeah, I deleted my Facebook. I had no Instagram anymore. It was all deactivated.
Yeah.
And he was like, you should do it. And then for months and months, he kept saying it. And I was like, no, mate, I'm nearly 30 now. Like, I can't be using TikTok. And then I was like, fuck it. I'm just gonna start a TikTok. And at first I was like, well, I'm just going to produce like gym stuff. Never in my wildest dreams would I thought I'd go to work and make comedy like skits or sketches or whatever. And it wasn't doing particularly well. It's such a saturated field within
what, social media. Yeah, the gym
just,
you know,
I was
stuff.
Like, this isn't really getting any.
It's all full of just like it's women, just, women yeah, on there walking like, on a treadmill.
You can be particularly untalented and be famous in that in that realm. So I was like, right, I need to think of something else that, and with anyone doing social media stuff, you've got to find your niche, and then you've got to just be good at it, and just you've got to make good content, and that's the only way. That's the only way you'll grow. You've got to give value through one form or the other. And I was like, right, I just came with my idea just to do a comedy skit. And the first one I did that did well was basically, we were sat there, we'd loaded out the plot of a block of flats.
Who's this, you and Owen?
And the rest of the gang. Right, okay. We loaded out and we couldn't lay, it was too cold. And I just came up with this idea off the top of my head just to like hug a block and be all sad and like hugging and that. And then it finished off with me like going, getting a £20 note out in the toilet and like wiping my tears away,
like
scraping through. The tag was bricklayers scraping through on the 500 grand they earned in the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that did pretty well.
Right. Just on TikTok.
So that's all I had at that point was TikTok. And then I was like, oh, maybe there's someone here. And that just went from there. I kept coming up with sort of like trade reaction videos and stuff like that. And they always do well.
Yeah.
Everyone loves them.
What, the old green screen one?
No. So all my stuff is all on the site. I don't do any. It's all in my environment where I work.
Yeah.
And then I just create. Like, I find little spots on the site. And think, oh, that would be good for that. That'd be good for that.
Nice.
And I just come up with ideas. And you should see my notebook. I've got like it's actually nearly full. I'll come up.
What, of little ideas?
I just write the ideas out. I write little scripts out. I find sounds. That's probably what I used to do in the early days. I find a sound.
Right.
It's like a Disney sound. I know it sounds stupid.
For what? Give us an example.
So you picture a Disney film.
Right.
One I think springs to mind is there was a Lion King soundtrack.
Yeah.
So I get the sound and I was thinking, right, how could I make a site version of this?
The song yeah, is
like
it?
Use
okay.
the song. Like think of the actual film. Think of the moment in the film.
Yeah.
And then I'll go, right, how can I make that into like a site version?
Yeah.
So there's one I did where, I can't remember, what's the tag? It's about the apprentice, and I actually can't remember what the tag of it, but basically I made him look like he was baby Simba.
Yes.
And I come over as Rafiki in my level. I put muck on his forehead.
No.
Like, as if like when he's getting painted in the film.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we get up and then we take him up on this mound.
On the scaffold.
It was on a mound of mud, and I take him up, and then when the music hits, I lift him up.
Brilliant.
Like it was Pride Rock from the film, and then got Mark Parnett to go like this, like the animals in the film. And that's
everyone's on board with it on the site at this time. Because this would have been a few years ago, right?
This
18 months ago?
No, this is only last year.
Oh, really?
This would have been that video, for example, would have only been summer last year.
Right.
So, the lads love it. The lads on site absolutely love it. And sometimes we do it, and I I'm not good. I can't do them when I've got a crowd.
Yeah.
Like, we need to go off into a little bit of privacy.
Yeah.
Owen's the cameraman, and he loves these little ideas. We bounce off each other, and I got my other little apprentice, Joe, who people definitely would have seen. He's been in loads.
Right.
The radio ones where we like do what the apprentice hears and what the tradesman hears. Like, that was a good little series. It went well. And then we spent all morning while we're working talking about what we're going to do. And then we get, so it hits snack time.
Yeah.
Like, right, 5 minutes. And we film it all in 5-10 minutes max.
Yeah.
Then we'll go down, they'll go for their food. I'll warm my food up quickly, take it off to a little spot, and I'll spend the rest of my break editing
it. Oh, you'll edit it literally there and then.
And then I'll post it by the time we can walk back out.
Yeah.
And then we'll by the afternoon when we're walking back down, we look, you know, either it's gone, either it's on the way to go viral or it's not.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you can come back and like, shit.
It's always the one that you think that's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And it does shit.
That's so
the one that you're like,
so frustrating.
Oh, that was all right.
I've done some where I'm like, that is my favourite one ever that I've done. and it just totally flops. And you're like, and then some of the ones I think are so bang average.
Yeah.
And they just, yeah.
They fly.
But what I learned was to not give up on them. So if I made a video that I thought was good and it flopped maybe first time, it's just like retake that video that it will do well. Like the idea is, you know that the idea is good. Just re-edit it, change like the tags, change the writing, like repurpose it a little
just
bit.
Just tweak the...
Just tweak it out, shorten it.
Keep the actual footage, but tweak little bits just to it.
Change the story a little bit. And, you know, so that Lion King one, the original one, it did all right. I think it had like 100K views. And then I was like, but that's so good that it deserves better. So then I took it and just like changed the tagline, shortened it right down. And then that one's got millions now.
Same video, same
shots, just tweaked. Different caption.
I love the fact that you've got like a little notebook. That's mad that you go, right, wake up in the middle of the night with an idea. Pop it down there.
I have done that.
Really?
So the thing that I learned is that I can have a really good idea pop in my head. If I don't write it down, in half an hour, I could have forgotten that idea. That's happened a few times, and it's taken me days then to remember. Like, sometimes I'm now in a position with this where I spend my whole life analysing everything, and it's actually frustrating at times because I don't switch off.
So you're like, watching a film at the cinema with the missus.
I'm constantly like viewing situations like,
we can do that.
I could repurpose. I could like do, that's literally all I do now. Quite sad, really. I watch everything. I'm like, how could I turn that into a site video? Yeah. And that's how. So another series I did, which was People on Site is Game Characters, where I go through the different traits. Have you seen that?
No. I'll have to have a look.
It was an actual series, like a 5-6-part series. And that's brilliant. That's what blew my Instagram up originally.
So at this point you've gone from TikTok to Instagram.
I started this series. I posted like 3 or 4 of the parts on it on TikTok already, and it was the first thing I posted on Instagram, and then that was it just went bigger on Instagram than it ever did on TikTok. It did really well on TikTok, but Instagram it blew. I think the first one's got 4.5 million views. And that literally went almost global. It was a global reach. It wasn't just like a UK.
Wow.
It went, you know, Australia, the US. Got, like, if you look at my like follower, my statistics, like so many in the US, so many in Australia. I think at one point the highest was from Ireland as well.
Right.
Weirdly, but yeah, so that was the first one that sort of, and basically I do is just compare like different traits and their strengths and weaknesses as if they were a video game character. And I give them stars, say like, so Brookie's like always, Brookie, yeah, literally Brookie's always top stars on mine. That all came from, I'll scroll through TikTok as well, and I'll just like, and it's just, I see someone just like, bouncing, pretend to be a video game character, like, you know, when you're the initial menu and like select character,
and it's just standing there.
And I was like, I should do that as for site workers, and that's it. That was the idea, I went through all the sounds. I think the sounds almost make that video as well. I went through all like the game, like on TikTok, all the sounds that relate to games, and I went through. And I was like, doesn't. At first, I had like having the Call of Duty like background. Yeah. I was like, oh, that would work well. And it just didn't really, but then I found a sound that really works well with it.
Yeah.
And now, so after it, when that went out, a lot of people did their own one.
Right, off the back of you doing it.
Yeah, comparing like their trays, but like their world, like went totally out. The best one was, and I love this, and I'm sticking to the fact that they copied it, was I'm a Man United fan.
Yeah.
And they did one not long after, going through their different like kits with a man on the pitch.
Who Man United did?
And they used that sound, and it was the exact same style I did. I was like, you're joking.
Yes,
they copied
mate.
Me.
Should have just dropped him a message and gone.
I did like a little video. I was like, as if Man United have copied my style.
Fair play.
But yeah, that one just went mental, that. And that's what, and you only need like a few to go to get that momentum building with socials. And once you do that, you just got to keep rolling it. I did like a little, so that was like last year, and I did like a repurpose one a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And again, it's done, I think it's 450,000 on TikTok, which like now to me, it sounds stupid, but 450,000 views is really solid, isn't it? Like, really.
Yeah.
But when you get to a point where you get millions, you're
become conditioned to what you're pulling in.
When I started, I remember when I first got 1,000 views, I was like, oh my God, 1,000 views, like 1,000 people have watched that.
Yeah.
And then now.
But it's progression, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's,
and then you just get so accustomed to like when you go viral and you get like a millions, or you get like,
see, I don't know if the socials do it. What YouTube does with videos, if I put a video out, it ranks 1 to 10 in your video. So say I put a video out last week and it's doing 40,000 within
48 hours. You put a video out today and it compares to all the last 10. So straight away, you're constantly checking that.
Yeah, that's just...
And it just... YouTube know what they're doing and it's the game. But as soon as a video doesn't do... It's still doing really well, but because it's not doing 40,000 in 24 hours...
It's dangerous that...
You think it's doing crap.
With all the ones that have done well, I've kind of known... I know within 3 or 4 hours if this is going
to
be...
So within three or 4 hours, what sort of numbers do you want to see to know it's going to go?
I would... If I think it's really going to do well, I think you need like 100K within 3 or 4 hours.
Right, okay.
So if you're looking at, if you want the million views, the levels, like
it's going to be in them numbers early doors.
Yeah, like you need like, but then I have had, you do randomly get these videos where you post and leave for like four, even eight. I had one after 8 weeks, just come out and it had like 10,000 views, 8 weeks, and then went up to 1.7 mil. Yeah. And just, you just need that little catch just of the algorithm.
Yeah, so I've had a video from like a year ago, done, dusted, and then all of a sudden I seen all these comments coming on this video. I was like, clicked on it to have a look, and it's done like 100,000 views in the last 48 hours. I don't know why.
Yeah,
it's just something in the algorithms, isn't it? No one knows what the algorithms are.
Yeah, it's weird. Like there was one I did in November, which was, I found this viral video, this would be the one probably most people would have seen of mine, where this woman's dancing over a baby, and it's just like, what the fuck is she doing? The babe was ill in hospital.
I've seen that one.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, so I seen another set of tradies from, I think they were from Australia, do it. And I was like, oh, I said to Joe, like, me and you just need to do one of that. Like, you know, she's, what is she doing? Let's take the piss.
Yeah.
So she's like dancing over a baby, like saying like, let's pray for him. Let's hope he gets. And then I was like, right, Joe, these are the three things we're going to do. I'm going to dance over you, but you're not going to know. So he pretended he'd fallen down the stairs, scaffold stairs. And he was like, you know, on nearly dead. Right. And I was like grinding over him and slut dropping and like pray for little Joe. And then on TikTok, it got 6,000 views. Terrible. Right. Like really poor. But on Instagram, it's got 13.4 million.
Wow.
And like over, I think it's 1.4 million likes.
So you're not, same video.
Yeah. 6,000 views on one, 13.4. It's crazy. Like the algorithms, how they work on different platforms. But
mental.
And that didn't happen straight away on that either.
Did it come afterwards?
Had like a boom in January, and then last week it just had another little boom. It's just weird how they go, like the big ones will go through like fluctuations,
right?
Where they go massive, come off, and then it will just go like that. I people ask me like, oh, well, what's the secret? I don't know what the secret is.
I think if someone says they know, it's
they're lying. It's just a bit of luck, it's timing,
consistency,
and it is about producing. Some you do have to produce a bit of quality content.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of good content that like flies under the radar.
Yeah,
and it deserves it. But yeah, and you get some like shit content pop up on your feed, and you're like, how the hell is that? And that's how I look. I'm always looking at like, how the hell has that got that views?
Yeah. Oh yeah, but some of them got crazy numbers.
But then you've got to look at it and go, right, that formula for that sort of video works. Can I use that?
Tweak it.
Can I make it myself? No, I can't. All right, move on. Or I could. And if you're a content creator, that's what you spend your life bloody doing.
Yeah, just looking at a little in on a video.
Yeah.
So you're doing your site work, you're doing your site, TikToks, your Instagrams and that. So at what point does the sort of the benching bricky, if you like, begin to find its way into it with the PT stuff and the...
So... it was always sort of when I started the social, I was like, I would like in the end to build something that enabled me to build like another business, like coming off it. I was like, let's just get an audience in, let's build an audience, let's get followers, let's get interaction. And then it got that. And then basically someone reached out to me via their company and said, like, we want to go after like this niche in construction. We think there's a good target audience there. And we think you're the perfect man for it.
So like, had you been putting little fitness stuff in, but nothing,
and I'm still not particularly now. I think more my approach is more the motivational side is right. Like, look, this is my life. Like working as a bricklayer, as a physical job. Yeah, I still commit the time and I have done for years to go and train after work meticulously. And I will continue to do that. I also obviously know what I'm doing as well, but that was kind of how I just used to put stories out of gym ones and people would be like, how are you doing that? Like, how are you going to work? And like,
Because bricklaying is a massive physical job.
How are you going doing that? How are you training that hard? And then that was it. And then that's sort of how I do put a bit of information of my styles up, but it's more just for a lot of people. I think a lot of people like to overcomplicate stuff like that. And it's just more about building the mentality of just getting in there, getting it done consistently. Yeah. over a long period of time. Same way anyone would learn the trade. It took a long time, consistent effort, and that's it. Everyone can do it. And that's the secret to like.
Is it something? What's the thing? If you do something X amount of times, I don't know, 12, 14 weeks constant or something like that, there's something isn't there, it becomes.
Yeah. And that's sort of the thing I try and get across is there's nothing special. There's nothing special about people who, even not in our world, who go and train. And
it's just motivation, isn't it?
It's just they're prepared to go. And what I say is it's actually not about motivation. It's about it's about discipline.
Right, okay.
Motivation will come and go all the time. Like I reckon 80% of the time I go out to the gym after work and I cannot be asked. I just want to go home, I want to sit on the sofa, I want to eat some shit food and I want to put my feet up till tomorrow. But it's the discipline of what gets you there. Motivation comes and goes.
Yeah.
And where most people fall off is that when they in low periods of motivation, that's the excuse, and they'll fall on that and go, I'm just not feeling it. Yeah. I'm not going to do it. The problem is for most people, like you're more in a unmotivated state for most things than you are motivated. It's not often you can continually fly through on a high state of motivation, but it's the discipline to keep going. And that's what I try and put out in my content is just turn up, just go and do it. Don't give an excuse, a bullshit excuse. Just turn up, do it. And you do that again the next day and you do that again the next week. And that's it. Like there's no secret like formula to it. It's just about doing it consistently. And that's kind of where the fitness and construction content works for me, in that people just relate to it and it just gives them that little bit of inspiration.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just going to pump out this stuff. And that's what made the app company reach out to me. And that's how we built the fitness content now around that. I'm actually coaching now.
Right. So you're just putting that content out.
Yeah. And just,
alongside the other stuff you were doing.
And just also just like introducing what I'll do, like, you know, how I coach, and then just put stories out and then
an app people come to you.
Yeah. And then from there we build it up, and then people will come to me and, you know, they'll come to me and go like, this is what I want. And then I'll go, this is what I can offer. And then we either work together or we don't. But
so you work with this app company then doing?
Yeah. So we work together on it, and we sort of like, they are in that field that we have back and forth meetings and stuff. We come up with strategies, content strategies, and discuss our plans and how best we can suit the audience we're going after. Cause we are specifically like looking at construction workers, tradies. Okay. We're just looking at showing people like what I do and helping improve lives, basically, which I'm trying to in my content pump out that, you know, it's important to look after yourself and you should, and there's many benefits to doing that, especially working in our game.
Yeah.
Like I don't believe that it's an excuse that you work in construction that you can't look after yourself. I mean, all too often people use it as an excuse. I'm too tired. Like, so I'll go home and I'll laze about and I'll eat shit because I'll burn it off. And in reality, you go walk around a construction site, there's a lot of people who aren't in shape. So it says, oh, do you know what I mean? Like you don't have to do that if that's not what you want. But what I found in my content and the messages like people come to me privately is a lot of people do want that. They really want to get themselves in shape for like their families, for themselves. But then when it comes to the crunch of actually putting the work in, then they'll fall off.
So you help run, I assume there's links on your socials to it.
Yeah, so it's all on my socials, all like links in my bios and stuff, and people basically register their interest and they can, you know, say what they want, what they're looking for, and then that information.
And then you put a plan together for them.
Yeah, so then they come to me, I go, this is what I can offer, this is how much it costs. And then if they, you know, most of the time people will, as soon as it comes to the financial side of it, about actually parting with money towards their physical and mental health, they freeze and they go, nah, which to me is crazy because the amount of things most people will waste money on without a second thought.
I'm
the same, I'll do that. You know,
can spend whatever the price of it is. Let's say, for argument's sake, it's 100 quid a month. You know, you'll go out for dinners and you'll buy takeaway food or you'll buy shit from the shop or whatever. Take that away and put that towards that.
Yeah. That's what I say. Like, you know, I look at what some of the lads eat for lunch and they'll spend a tenner a day.
Yeah.
And over a month, that's 200 quid. You know, my food bill that day is a fifth of it. I spend like £2 or £3 on my lunch a day just because of what I cook and make. You know, and that's what I try and say to people is like, if you just like, you can just tweak little things in your life that would actually pay for you to like, you're almost investing in yourself. And it's crazy that people aren't willing to invest in themselves. You know, that's trying to lead them up that road. Like, if you invest yourself now, you'll pay yourself dividends in the future.
Yeah.
Like look at it like that. And you're trying to get that mentality across. with construction workers is really difficult. But it's like literally my mission to like, right, I'm gonna change that. I'm gonna show people that, and construction workers themselves, that no, you can look after yourself. You can go out and have your cake and eat it, because I'll go to the pub, I'll go out with mates. I don't miss a meal out with people. Like, and you just gotta find the balance that works for you, but you can also look after yourself. And
are you getting many people come and take you up on it? Is it massively growing?
There's loads of interest. There's loads, because people ultimately want to look good. They want to feel good.
Especially going into the summer now and
all
that. Yeah,
like, you know, who doesn't want to walk on a beach and look decent, yeah. You know? But, you know, you look at a lot of guys who've got kids and that, like, you should be sort of leaning to think a little bit of them, and, like, you know, you need to be a role model.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of guys come to me saying, is like, I want to be a role model to my kids. And, like, you know, they'll be doing well in other aspects of life, but physically they might have let themselves go. Like, that's a big thing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I just kind of like, right, this is, if that's what you want, I can help with it.
You can tailor it to suit.
And it is, all my packages are bespoke. So we'll work with that individual based on what they want. Nothing's like the samey.
Yeah.
You won't get the same program as someone else. I mean, they do offer like a standard package people can buy for a cheaper rate. But like the bespoke package, like the premium one, if you want, which is what I would tailor to an individual, that's like training programs, nutrition programs, recipes. Like, it boils down to even like shopping lists, habit trackers. It's all like, it can integrate with their smartwatch and stuff like that. And they've got a chat function on the app where it's direct access to me. And it's also about teaching people to manage lifestyle and stuff like that. So it's like fully...
I bet that's quite time consuming for you, isn't it? On the other end of it, it's building that package for...
I think the initial work's done. Then it just comes to, if someone new comes in and I've got to set something up new, if someone's active on it, the foundations of it are always there. It's just about tweaking it, like adding like things in and out, or, you know, just, but once someone's up and running with it, it's more about like sort of the guiding. You then become like, you're guiding them through the paths and what to avoid and what to go for and how to manage different social situations and like going out for meals. Like, a lot of people freak out if they're dieting.
Yeah.
It's just about saying like, well, no, you can go and do that, but like, you know, where you've just got to like take, you've just got to give a little bit somewhere else. And that's like this, you know, it's nothing complicated.
Yeah, go out for that curry on Saturday night. It.
Never miss out. Like, don't find the balance in life. Don't miss out on things. Like, you know, it could all be over tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Never turn a meal down with your friends, and never, you know, turn a pub night out with the boys if that's what, you know, but just give and take. And if you're going to do that somewhere, you know, if it's like a bank, and if you're going to pull money out of somewhere, you've got to put it back in.
Of course you have, yeah.
Are you wasting time? I think that some of you probably are, and I have a solution for you. Nobody wants to do any type of admin. Now, I have a solution for you, and it is called Tradeify. It's a fully automated job scheduling, invoicing, and quoting all in one place. Now, that software is going to save you 12 hours a week, and all by using a simple software solution. Now, you can try it for 2 weeks absolutely free, no cards needed, and you'll even get support in person from Tradeify themselves. Now, when you're done, you can always come back to me and thank me, but just enjoy the extra 12 hours that you're going to gain from just using the software.
Yeah. So, what, just coming towards the end of it now, what we always like to do at the end is like a final thoughts thing. What would you want to give a bit of advice, you know, either be it about your socials, about your mental health stuff that you do, your online coaching stuff, if you can give anyone a bit of advice going forward.
I think, well, we haven't really talked about that topic of mental health, have we? So
no, not really.
It's one for me, like, I'm pretty passionate about, if anyone follows me, that they'll know that. And I probably should put more up about it, but I think especially in construction, it's a really taboo subject. And I think like it's starting to get broken down a bit now, which is really good.
There's a few people sort of pushing it. Yourself, Rob from Mind Your Head Podcast. Rob's done a lot.
Yeah, there's
Talking Tradesman. Yeah, there's a few.
It's just, you know, it's just about people. I mean, a lot of people care about it, but it's about being sort of brave enough just to go put. You've got to be a bit vulnerable with it and put yourself out there, because there's a lot of people who still think it's a load of shit.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like, if I look back, you know, a few years ago, but my perspective on it isn't what it is now. And only going through like experiences that relate to it, can you come out with the sort of like the way I view it now and the way we're trying to get people to view it. But, you know,
it just has that stigma, doesn't it? It always has done. I've said it before on here and different podcasts, the construction industry is very much, oh, you know, take it on the chin and crack on with it.
Yeah.
It can't be like that anymore.
It's a hard enough industry as it is to work in without taking it, you know, and not, you know, bottling stuff up. And I always say, like, the smallest of things can really, there's a snowball effect to it, and it roll and roll and roll. And that's why people go, why would you, like, just get on with it? That's such a small thing. But it, like, a combination of small things all the time build up to that snowball effect, and then they roll and roll and roll. And that's ultimately what leads to people choosing to take their own lives. I mean, so for me, it's particularly sensitive because I've had my own sort of battle against depression at one stage. I've had a turbulent few years in my private life that no one would know about through my socials because I don't put it out there. Yeah. But, you know, I've had my own battles to face, come out fine using certain strategies. And I've, you know, on the flip side of it, my uncle was a forklift driver and he took his own life a couple of years ago now. He hung himself.
Right.
And I've witnessed, like, the devastation that that's caused within my own family.
Was that work related? Was it that
no? It was, you know, it was relationship calls.
Right. Okay.
But, you know, if people are going to work and they're comfortable to talk about these things, that you know, they come into a space where it's not taboo, they don't have to act tough, and, you know, they're willing to speak to their mate next to them and say, like, you know, sometimes the simplest things just chatting about once can relieve that pressure.
He might have been dying to get something, or anyone, not just him, dying to just for someone to just ask that one question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, and you know, you can sometimes spot with people and you sometimes can't, but just by just asking the question and making it, you know, becoming like within your own gangs or within your companies and that, just going like, "Are you right, mate?" Like, and then not accepting, like, if you get a response of like, yeah, I'm fine. I mean, like, if your missus said that to you, you know that she isn't fine, yeah? And you push it, like, all right, no, what's really wrong? But, like, if your mate says it to you, like, yeah, I'm fine.
It's sort of disregarded, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, oh, no, he's fine. He's right. But, like, you know, there's no pressing with it. There's no, like, getting out. And sometimes people need a bit of press, and then it leads to conversation and people chat.
I always say sort of ask twice. You're all right. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. No, are you all right?
Yeah.
You're just and that's just a little in, isn't it?
It might not be open enough at that point to say, but if you keep doing it, they might build that comfortability with you to be able to, like, yeah, do you want, I'm happy to speak to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately, it's as serious as that one conversation can sometimes stop someone taking their own life.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and the follow-on effect that has, that ripple effect. We've spoken about the funny stuff, and the serious side of it is that, like, you know, I want to show people through socials that, you know, you can be as big as you want, as strong, you can bench as much as you want, you can be a meathead in the gym, but, like, you can be emotional as well.
Oh, massively.
You can be emotionally intelligent, you can speak to people. It doesn't mean you're any less of a man that you've got problems, and everyone has, like, ultimately everyone has problems.
Yeah.
And I try and show through my socials as well that it's not all glitz and glam. It's like, you know, the reality of life is, like, everyone wants everyone to think everyone's perfect on Instagram and that. Do you know what I mean? Like, no, show people, just be honest. You know, you just show people the reality of what, like, life and the stresses and.
Yeah. It's all, like you say, it's all glitz and glamour. People only put the good stuff on social. Yeah. Or I say that people only put the good stuff. There has been I've noticed a bit of a shift of people beginning to book the trend and go, do you know what? I'm feeling shit. I've done it. I've done videos on my YouTube where, I did one, funnily enough, probably 18 months ago, and it was just a point where I was just feeling a little bit shit. Weren't feeling depressed or down, or at least I don't think I was, just felt a little bit shit. And I remember just hitting the camera in my van, sat there and went, I think I started it by going, I don't even know if I'm going to put this video out. But I sat there for 10 minutes, and I never edited the video. I just uploaded it to YouTube, but kept it on private for probably 2 or 3 months. And every now and again, I just click it and think, it doesn't go with the content I'm doing. But then I'm like, well, it doesn't need to go with the content. There might be someone else feeling like that.
Yeah.
And one day I didn't even put a title on it. I just, a chat in the van or something like that. You know, usually it's clickbait and all that. A chat in the van, no thumbnail really, and just, I usually put stuff out on a Wednesday and a Sunday. I think I'll put it on a Tuesday because part of me wanted it to just go under the radar without it being noticed, which is kind of wrong. But I hit the button, uploaded it, and it flew with so many people going, Mark, I'm so glad you put that out because I'm feeling the same.
Yeah.
And knowing that you're feeling the same or someone, you know, that creates content is feeling the same, it's just made me feel a bit better about me being shit. Yeah.
I think every time I...
And I come off the back of that going,
yeah,
wow. And it made me feel really good for putting it out. And I couldn't believe I sat on it for that long.
Yeah, I think every time I've put something out, I've felt the same. I'm a bit apprehensive before because it's still ingrained in you that, like, oh, don't show it.
Yeah.
Even though I'm, like, show it, it's still, like, breaking that mold that everyone's brought up with from a young age, especially as a bloke.
Yeah.
It's difficult to put it in there. But every time, every single video or story or anything that I do with that sort of nature I put up, the response is so good.
Yeah.
And it's the response that people wouldn't see in, like, the private messages that are just, like, you know, people just saying, like, that you don't understand, like, that video saved... Like, I've had people say that video saved me that day, and I'm like...
See, just that one comment...
Yeah. And, like, you just, sometimes on socials, when it gets boils down to all the numbers and all the likes and comments, it's just a statistic, like, statistic. But when, like, someone actually comes to you and says that, you're like, oh, Joe, I trade every one of the millions of likes and the views just to help that one person, like, 100%. Because, the knock-on effect to their, like, the real life.
And just that statement of him putting that is probably massively deeper than just that you've saved
people me. People aren't going to reach out to a stranger. Yeah. You know, they build a relatability to anyone they followed, but they're still a stranger. They never met me in person to, like, reach out and go, like, yeah, you've, like, those words and you just being brave enough to talk about it is just that day made me go and chat and save me that day.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's a lot. It's like,
it geez, is, it is.
But
yeah.
Like,
and it makes it all worth it.
And you hear, like, shit, I'm going to go, I need to do more. Like, that's one person, let's help more and more. So I think that's, like, with my content this year, it's definitely something that's, like, in my line to get more out of. Yeah. Obviously, like, the humorous stuff's great because it does bring a smile to people and they love it. They look out for it and they like the laughs and it keeps that humorous content. It keeps that humorous side to the construction world, which I think is falling out and we need to keep hold of it. But yeah, like, for me, like, it'd be great. I love helping people physically, but mentally helping people would be the best thing that I can get across in my content. And so I would say to, like, anyone who's a content creator, especially in construction, there's a lot of guys and there's bigger guys with bigger followings than me. Like, you've got such like potential power to help people. And you've got such a good platform to, like, impact lives through that. Like, the bricklaying videos are great and stuff, but to actually, like, have a positive impact through your social media, it's just like, it's such a, like, ability. So just don't be afraid to pump it out. Don't be afraid to say how you feel. Don't be afraid to, like, for every bad comment you'll get saying, like, man up and stuff, there's 99 going, like, oh, like, thanking you for doing it. Yeah. So fuck that bad comment off. That doesn't mean nothing. Like, the thank yous and, like, just breaking the boundary stuff, that's priceless. Yeah. So,
that can just make a massive difference to everyone. Yeah.
And I think, like, if people keep doing it as people grow, like, I think the construction, like, social media, like, seems to be, like, there's a build to it. Like, people, like, there's more and more people coming in now doing it.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a bigger profile to construction workers. So, you know, I think we all should have a little bit of, like, a unity and, like, let's break down societal, like, views on us. Like, we're all idiots or monkeys on site. You know, there's a lot more to us than that. Do you know what I mean? Like, and, like, if you look at the statistics for suicide in construction, like, they're higher than any other.
It's massive, isn't it? I don't know, Harrison, if you know the figures, but they are
scary.
Huge. Yeah,
it's scary.
Massive.
And it's too many. Like, one's too many.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's, you know, it's almost like a sense for me, a little bit of a sense of responsibility, like, use the platform to help people, like, physically brighten their day up through laughter, but ultimately show vulnerability to, like, you know, help people feel comfortable in whatever realm they need to, just to, you know, it's not just about the risk of suicide, but it's also about your state of life and just going through, like, you get one life, like, wasting it, like, feeling sad and worrying about little things and that is just such a, we're so lucky to have this opportunity to be here.
Yeah.
You know, and I say all that and I'll have days where I'm being, you know, so terribly down and I'm like, then, you know, but I've got my little methods to pick myself back up and it's about knowing what to do. And, like, for me, the gym's a massive one. And that's why I'm trying to encourage some people, that therapy of exercise, not just gym, but, like, running, sport and all that stuff. Like, that's such a powerful therapy. And
it's like my son, he's the, my lad Josh, he won't be listening to this, but I'll probably point him to it. He's the most, 27, scaffolder. He's a big lad. He's the most angriest fucking 27-year-old I know. His fuse is this big. He loses his shit. I don't know where he gets it from. I'm not like it. His mum's not like it. But his fuse is that small. But he's recently, with the football team he's playing for, they've set a charity thing up. They're going to run a marathon. So he started running. He's doing 5, 6, 7K a night and building up. And he rung me last week and went, Dad, he went, I fucking love running. He went, I don't get stressed out. It's like a bit of a... He's never really done that. He plays football at quite a high level, but he's never sort of gone out and ran and had his own time solo doing something. He's come back, he's gone, Dad, I love going out for half an hour running. He went, don't have my headphones in, I'm just running. He said, there's something about it. He said, I come back really chilled out. Yeah. I'm like, Josh, fucking run every night, mate. If it chills you out, do it all the time.
Yeah, and I've said that. Like, obviously, I put about the weight training is a big bit of what I pump out. But I've said a lot that, you know, go experiment and find what works for you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to it doesn't have to forcibly go to the gym and do something you don't like. Like, find what you enjoy and go and just go hard at it. And utilize that for the physical side and the mental side. Like that, you know, for me, going to the gym and sticking my headphones on and going into that world and just like battling those demons, and the weights become like that's for me is a form of therapy. Same as I love going out for a walk. I stick my headphones on for 45 minutes, take the dogs out. Yeah. That's like great therapy for me. And it's proven to work. Like the physical release of like the chemicals and stuff will help you in that situation. So just go and find something that works for you. And then, you know, I found what works for me. I've had to experiment. It's taken me years at times to find certain things that work, but you've got to try. You've got to, like, don't sit there and wait for something to happen. Like, go make it happen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to try something now, Jack. I don't know if it will work. Just bear with me. Okay. Right. So, no, all that makes sense. I'm going to ask a question now. Because this is obviously the Trade Legends podcast, so I'm going to ask a question now. Who, in your eyes, is a legend? Doesn't have to be, it can be anything. It can be family, musician, actor, whatever, sports person.
Yeah.
So what in your eyes, or who in your eyes, is a legend?
Put me on the spot there. So like, I'm a massive sports fan.
Yeah.
And I love football. Although I played rugby, I love football. So like, growing up, I was a Man United fan. Like, I know it sounds obvious, but someone like Ronaldo was just like, oh my God, he's just...
He was an absolute legend
for me.
In his prime.
And then as I turned into an adult and you look at like the qualities and stuff, you just used to admire his intensity and how he worked. So that was like, I just always loved him.
Yeah.
So when he came back to United a few years ago, I was just like, I was like a child. So as like a sporting person, or like someone I've never actually seen or met in my life, like he would be that.
You'd put him up in legendary status.
Yeah, I mean, he is. Like, he's proven it. Yeah. In terms of like impact on your own life, I'm going to say my own dad.
Yeah,
you know, he's had such a positive effect, and you know, now in my world and what we're doing, like, you know, you see how well he's regarded and what he's doing. I've learned so much of him, and every time we sit there and we're in meetings and stuff, like he won't know that I'm like watching him. Like, you know, just incredible man.
Yeah.
So and I know everyone always says their dad, and everyone.
Yeah. But there's reasons, isn't there?
Yeah. And like, we've gone through so much.
Yeah.
To, you know, for me to say that, like, so many.
And especially for you to work for his company for as long as you have, and to be in meetings with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know, I feel like every time I go out there and like embodying him to an extent, and you want just, you know, like I say, when we talked about earlier about, if it was for someone else, that I wouldn't have stood that test.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But I wanted to, like, you know, in a way, you're still like a child. Like, I want to show him that I'm tough enough to, like, to do this.
Yeah.
Show him that, like all the things he taught me, like, have meant something, and the ability to, like, stick at it and, you know, use it and come out of it the other side, sort of thing. So, yeah, I know it's cliche, but that is like my honest answer. Good. Yeah.
Good. No, Harrison, it's been great to have you on. Jack will put all the links to your socials and to all your online stuff and that. But no, mate, it's been great having a catch up with you, having a chat.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah. No, cheers, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers, mate.
Nice one.